grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in that later time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek God in his temple.
For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter, hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me high upon a rock. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
My heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I trust you.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that none of you can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the word of the Lord.
Now when Jesus had heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple themes that can be drawn from today is revelation, witness. Though this is not the kind of revelation that comes crashing into our lives, jolts us into awareness. This post-Christmas time, the life of the church reflects on ways where God might be a little bit more subtle. As David Toole writes, "There are no bright stars, no earthquakes, just a voice that strikes our ear amid the ordinaries of our lives and announces that God is among us." What does that voice sound like in your life? When do you hear and notice that voice throughout the daily grind? When discerning a call to ordained ministry, Lutherans speak of an inward call and an external call, which means inwardly we may feel a tug to be a pastor or deacon in the church. And then there's the external affirmation that other people in your life and throughout the church, the people of God, will say, "You might be called to be a pastor." And then there's a whole process where that inward and outward call, inward and external, is affirmed. But I don't believe we do a good job as Lutherans in applying that concept to the entire body of Christ and the various vocations that one is called to. We fail to communicate the gifts that each and every one of us have, the gifts that you all have to enrich the lives of others. Because there are too many people in the world, and even in our own community here, that don't believe they have a call in their life, that they have gifts to do holy work in this world. But in our gospel lesson, after Jesus heard that John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus goes to remind those that society would have seen at that day as not having the gifts to do particular holy things, that they are called to do something holy. They're more than just, as the world sees, just fishermen. And as Brad Hogan reminds us, Galilee is a backwater region. Galilee was not the center of culture. It was not a center of power or influence. It was not Columbus, Ohio. It was not New York City or Washington, D.C. Perhaps Galilee has as much influence on the culture, power and influence as Cardington, Ohio does. Now, our gospel lesson says that Jesus withdrew to Galilee. Have you found yourself withdrawing at times for good reasons or for bad reasons? But when we have a calling, when we have a purpose, when we have a sense that we can control what's going on, we're not going to be tempted to withdraw. But when we wrestle with our human limitations, we tend to withdraw. It's a natural one. It's easy to withdraw. It's easy to escape. It's easy to not know what's going on in the world, right? To be numb to all that. Because we can't change it anyway, right? So why bother? Hagen writes, John's arrest and eventual beheading foreshadows Jesus' own arrest and death by crucifixion. Prior to his crucifixion, outside the walls of Jerusalem, Jesus is arrested. Then upon the cross, worse than withdrawing to Galilee, Jesus is left to die, forsaken by God. Jesus doesn't give us the power, control, influence we ultimately want, so that we can change ourselves, others, and the world. Instead, while on the cross, he abandons us to those unfulfilled dreams and desires. We are left to die with much that we hoped was possible, unfulfilled. Jesus not only withdraws to the backwaters of Galilee, he leaves our misdirected hopes forsaken at the foot of the cross. We look for signs. We try to figure out the plan. But we can miss the presence and voice of God in the mundane. And as I was reminded after worship from a parishioner last night, they miss the voice of God when God grabs them and shakes them and jolts them too. So not just missing the God in the mundane, but even when it's obvious. But we can miss the presence and voice of God in the messiness of life. We can miss the voice and presence of God in the places we would consider God forsaken. As we hear in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And in 1 Corinthians, Paul is lamenting division. Are we experiencing division today in our world? Absolutely. We're created as broken human beings. We're comfortable with division, but God is calling us to unity. Embracing the gifts of unity and diversity is something that God has given us as blessings to be received. But we keep repeating the cycle of division and hate. My mom always said, you don't have to like everybody, but you have to love everybody. Right? So she always said, you don't have to like everybody, you have to love everybody. How hard is that, folks? Can we be honest for a second? How hard is that? To break that cycle, to break that cycle of hate. Because it's easy just to put the wall up. It's easy to choose that route than to break that cycle of hate and division with love. But that's what Jesus does on the cross. It's through the cross that Jesus breaks that cycle of hate and division. It is through the cross that God is bearing witness to life and love that prevails in the end. Can we hear that witness? Can we hear and answer that call? It's no wonder why Paul would say that there are some who are going to see the cross as foolish. Because we don't want to break that cycle. And God in Christ Jesus breaks that cycle of hate, division, violence, and death by dying on the cross. And his response to the world is life, forgiveness, and love. It sounds poetic. It sounds beautiful. On Easter, we're going to be very excited to celebrate it. But it's hard to live it. Yet as Christians, we should be seeing God in those places where the world would consider foolish and embody the love of Jesus. We should point to how God is revealed in those spaces and places. The cross is foolishness. The idea of a crucified God is absurd. Yet for us, we walk away with hope, life, and a reminder in God's presence in all places. No place is God forsaken because of the cross. which is why as a church we need to do better in equipping disciples with the knowledge that they are to bear witness to God in the places God has placed them, placed all of us, in the vocations God has called each and every one of us to, in the relationships that God has blessed us with. We hear the line in our gospel text, fish for people. It's worth reflecting and decolonizing our implicit and even explicit associations with that call to evangelism. Because in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, we heard the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region, in the shadow of death, light has dawned. Now Matthew chapter 15 and chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, are in relation to what we heard in our first lesson from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And it refers to those who were exiled by the Assyrians. But we might hear people sitting in darkness with the mentality of a Western Christianity that we've inherited, that, well, people who sit in darkness are less than, or they're lacking something. But Isaiah chapter 9 offers hope to survivors of the Babylonian exile. And our ministry is to offer a word of hope, the word of hope that we experience in Jesus Christ to those people who are suffering or feeling as if they're in exile in this broken world. A decolonized understanding of fishing for people is that we don't catch people and then strip away from them a sense of who they are, that they would conform and be in uniform with us culturally and everything else otherwise. Fishing for people is about salvation for today as much as it is about an eternal sense of salvation. But I believe a good Lutheran sense of evangelism, and I'm sure I've shared this before, is that we don't go around asking people, are you saved? Our question should be, are you well? That's the question we ask people. Because we care about the whole person and minister to their needs, whether it be in mind, body, or spirit, or all the above. To fish for people is an opportunity to reflect on our ministries to how all people can be caught up in the love of God. We hear Jesus say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And again, repent is just turning around, turning back to God, embracing the God who is present among us, receiving that kingdom that has come near, and then pointing others to it. We turn to this God. We are attentive to God's voice and revelation in our lives. And then we are caught up and called to lift others up with the love of God, because we're called to care about the whole person. Notice our gospel lesson says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Jesus cared about the whole person too. Cared about the whole person. So the wholeness and wellness of people, that's the concern of our Lord in following the way of Jesus. It's our concern as well. And we will struggle along the way. But we are to be reminded as God's holy people that we are always caught and called. Caught up in God's love and called to serve our Lord. Because the good news is when we withdraw, Jesus is going to find you. Right? That's the good news and promise you can cling to. Right? That's the beautiful image of the cross and God entering those God-forsaken places in Jesus Christ for us. One of those beautiful images that I love to share over and over is that when you run away from the Father, you're going to run into the Son. So no matter how far you withdraw, Jesus is going to be there. Because he takes on the cross and he enters death for our sake. As we hear in Romans 8, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. So you and I are called and caught to share the love of Jesus. And each and every one of us has gifts to share in this world to enrich the lives of others. And every place on this planet makes a difference in the lives and in the world, one way or another, whether we acknowledge it or not. Because differences aren't just made in cities and capitals of nations, but they're made in Cardington, Ohio, in Marion and Moore counties, Marion and Morrow counties. God is here, folks. God is here. The light shines, and the kingdom of heaven has come near. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Make your church one in purpose, proclaiming the message of the cross. Help us to work together across differences, energized church partnerships, including the World Council of Churches and the Lutheran World Federation. Merciful God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Merciful God, we rejoice at the bounty of your creation. Fill the land and sea with your abundance. Bless the harvests of the southern hemisphere and the fallow fields of the northern hemisphere. Equip farmers to till and keep their earth sustainable. Merciful God. In Christ, your reign comes near and calls all to repentance. Break the rod of the oppressor in every nation. Dispel the shadow of death in places of war and persecution. Grant us leaders who lift the yokes that will burden those in need. Merciful God. Be a stronghold to those in trouble and a rock for all who are afraid. Rouse communities to care for the neighbors who need shelter, are facing maltreatment, or isolated and lonely. Especially we pray for Justin, Tracy, Scott, Connie, Donna, Maddie, Scott, Paul, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Regina, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, the family of Patty Reynolds, Lucas, John, Cindy, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God, sustain the ministries of this congregation and all churches in this community. Nurture each congregation's unique witness to your presence. Foster mutual respect. Inspire our cooperation in loving our neighbors. Merciful God, we praise you for the faithful who have gone ahead of us, both famous and unknown. Help us leave our nets and follow, and bring us with them to fullness of your promise, eternal life. Merciful God,
we bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to call forward anyone participating in children's church this morning, and our communion assistants. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. Ushers will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and proclaim your truth this day and forevermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Announcements for the good of the community. Steve?
Yeah, just very briefly, the giving statements for 2022 are available. They're on the table to your right as you exit the church. They're kind of in alphabetical order. If you have any questions, see me, or my phone number is at the bottom of the statement.
I have a request. For each of you that knows anybody that is in the cemetery, there's going to be a huge event at the end of the year, but I need your help. I need facts. I need stories. This is the year of stories. I need to know how people came to faith. I need to know the quirkiness of what used to happen in 1920, 1930, and even back further. Or just more recently. So if you have a spouse, aunts, uncles, cousins, if you know any stories at all, put their name on a piece of paper, put the facts down. It doesn't have to be in a story form. I just need to know facts. And then if you can give them to me, that would be great. I need all of your help. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
St. John, Lutheran Church, we call, ascended in the Word, strengthened in the sacrament, sent in the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.